welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
I got some really stupid photos to show you. They're off the internet. They're not very good quality because a lot of them tend to be taken on people's phones and things like that. But it's just going to lead us to something that I believe God wants to say, and in fact has already been saying. Oh, I've been preempted slightly. There we go. Sometimes your day doesn't work out quite how you expected, does it? I love the look on the brown cow. Well, I mean, what is that brown cow thinking? Any suggestions from the congregation? Caption competition, Kingdom Faith. I hope nobody did it to make the photo. Some days we go through, they're just weird. They don't work out like we're expected. And the outlook just doesn't seem quite right. And then there's other days when, we think life is going quite well. But perhaps others are just dragging along behind. I love it because the couple are obviously smiling, happy, walking along. Presumably the toddler was in the trolley when they started walking along, but is now just clinging on the back. Sometimes it feels like actually that's a picture of God and maybe Jesus walking with him, and that's the Holy Spirit truck, and I'm just hanging on the back being dragged along, you know. God, are you noticing what's going on back here? I'm holding on, but only just. And then say maybe some other days there's a smile on your face, but, sometimes it's only just about staying there, yeah? And there can be others when your view on life just doesn't seem to be the same as everybody else. Now, obviously, I mean, maybe if it was Chris, you'd agree. It's thrilling. I just think that was hilarious, that one. Thrilling, quick quilts. I mean, let's give another plug for Synergy while we're at it, you know. It's thrilling. Oh, sorry, Chris. It is absolutely brilliant. I mean, the stuff they do. If you're not involved yet and you just fancy a nice night out on a Thursday night, great Tuesday night. I'm thinking Tuesday, it just didn't come out the right word. I do that quite a lot. I never quite know what I'm preaching. Tuesday night. And I always want to call it something else as well. But I've actually remembered serendipity is what I always want to call it. But it's synergy. I don't even know what serendipity means. Could be terrible. But it's okay, is it? That's good then. All right. Well, come and join serendipity. No, it's brilliant. It's a great sort of coffee evening, tea evening, drinks evening, sitting around chatting, lovely warm room. Turn the heating off at home, save a bob or two. And lots of different craft activities. I don't know how long you're going up to Christmas either, but we must try and get... Sorry? Probably the 18th. Oh, so you're going right up to the end as well. So that's great. Right, so anyway, thrilling. But some days, let's be honest, we just need a bit of a kick. Chill, whatever did you think? Yeah, some days we just need a swift kick up there to get us going. Or maybe, moving on to the next photo, it's just our theology that is somewhat lacking. I didn't know that one. And I've been searching Dunkin' Donuts in my iPad for ages, but I can't seem to find the right verse. But a lot of the time, it's just to do with, like we were touching on earlier, it's the way our mind is looking at things. Okay, how does our mind understand what we're seeing? Our minds can latch on to something and just see it in a certain way. If you look at the next one. It's going to barking. Or maybe it's all a matter of perspective. And sometimes what we see or understand is not the actual reality of what we're looking at. It's not President Putin. He's got better legs than that. And sometimes what we see, moving on to the next photo, is just what we see until we get a fresh explanation of what actually is going on. He's really upset. I think he's stretching the point a bit, actually. Yeah, we need a fresh way of looking at what's going on. And maybe there's things behind what we're actually looking or seeing or understanding that will give us a fuller explanation. Picture book preaching this morning. So I've got a scripture that explains all those photographs. I feel really sorry for you guys listening on the internet today or the MP3 because you haven't seen any of those. You have to look on the internet, yeah. Hallelujah. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians. You don't need to look it up if you don't want to. I'm reading from verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 10 in 1 Corinthians. This is what Saul, later becoming, well, he was Paul by now, had to say on the matter of those photos. Only the Spirit is able to understand all things, including the deep things about God. Nobody can know the thoughts of another person, but each knows his or her own thoughts. Similarly, nobody ever knows God's thoughts except his own Spirit. And we who believe in Jesus have not been given the Spirit of this world, but God's own Spirit, whom he sent to us so that we can understand all that he has given us. It's important to really grasp that. He sent to us so that we can understand all that he has given us. Because sometimes we feel that we don't understand, we don't know what's going on, we don't know what to do. And often the solution, nearly every time, the solution is that you're just not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're listening to other people, maybe. You're getting good advice. But it's the Holy Spirit that leads us into understanding. And his understanding is radically different to ours. And if we don't understand things in the way God understands them, because after all, he made everything, so he really does understand how it all really works, we can have an understanding or we can see things in certain ways that really doesn't make sense, but to us it does, because that's what we see. Like the picture of the seagull with the jet trails coming from the rear. Either he'd eaten something incredible, or there was a jet plane behind him. But what we saw was a gull with jet trails. Or what we saw was a woman with a dog head sitting on the train. Or what we saw was President Putin sitting in his hospital gown. Now that's relatively easy to work out what is actually going on. But when things are spiritual, and when it's life, and when it's things that we're going through, it isn't, unless we listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And there's a key word there, listen. How do we listen to the Holy Spirit? Well, primarily, the Holy Spirit will speak to you through the Bible. A lot of people think that the Holy Spirit's going to primarily speak to you by whispering things in your ear all the time. And the Holy Spirit is constantly thinking about us and speaking to us. But in terms of giving you purpose and direction, nearly all the time, he will speak to you through the Bible. And then what he says to you in any other way confirms what he said to you through the Bible, which we call God's Word, because it's God's Word to us. If you hear something from the Holy Spirit and you've never read that in the Bible, the chances are it's probably not God. Now, obviously, you're not going to get from the Bible, get on the train and go down to Barking and see a black man outside the pub called the Red Lion and give him a gospel track and come back home again. That's not a verse that actually says that. But you would have already got the context of doing something like that from your time of reading the Bible, because the Holy Spirit can be almost like a highlighter pen sometimes. That's why I use highlighters in my Bible. Because you'll read a passage, you think, wow, that's really speaking to me. And when that happens, mark it, write in your Bible or write in your notebook. This is something the Holy Spirit is saying to me today. And you might not understand everything. In fact, you probably won't, to be honest. I don't usually understand everything when a passage is highlighted to me. But I know that I will do as I continue to think about that passage and carry on doing the ordinary things. Things will happen that make things fit into place. When Kate and I were called up to Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, it was kind of a conundrum in a way, because we were surprised and yet we've been prepared. As soon as we stepped back from our surprise that we were to be moving, it became obvious that God had been preparing us for some time. And we had words from Scripture, prophetic words given to us by others, that it all started to make sense. And that's often the way it is. You get things coming in and they don't quite fit together until you get to a certain point when it's like, ah, I see now what God was saying. And two things that we have to be careful of when hearing from God, well, there's more than two, but two that I'm dwelling on right now. One is thinking we have the whole picture before we've got all the pieces of the puzzle. So we zoom off into doing something and end up, it doesn't work so well, and we think, did we ever hear God? And the second one is very, very closely related to it, is hearing from God and rushing into it before the right timing. Everything you do needs to be constantly surrendered to Him. Now, some people use that as an excuse for inaction, and that is not correct either. If we look at the apostles in the book of Acts, we find them, they can't get into, Macedonia? I'm trying to stretch my memory here, but they can't get into one area that they want to go and preach the gospel about, and then they can't get into another area that they want to go and preach the gospel about, so they ended up coming to Europe, which in the end was pretty fruitful, wouldn't you say? The evangelization of Europe. But they didn't sit around at home having endless prayer meetings. They went out and got started because they knew they were to go. So the answer to this listening to God thing isn't just to keep listening. that is to do things. Because it's as you do things, your hearing will be refined and you'll get things more accurately. But you share it with friends around you as well. That's why we have life teams. So you've got friends within a life team, well, friends outside the life team as well, obviously. You've got leaders of those life teams who are all wise, spiritually mature people who can listen to what you have to say and pray with you. And then we have a pastoral team that Chris organises that will also pray with you, spend time with you, going through things. And will help you to say, you know, yes, let's go for this. Wow, that's brilliant. And sometimes they'll say, I think that's something we need to keep praying about or that we need to check with the senior leadership with, particularly if it's a major call and you're going to be doing something completely different. These aren't to restrict anybody. This is to give everybody the security. We believe this is from God and enable the whole church to be behind you. Now, I hadn't finished reading the passage. So going back slightly, he sent to us so that we can understand all that he has given us. Verse 13. So we do not speak in words of worldly wisdom, but the Spirit gives us the words to speak, and he enables us to express spiritual truths in spiritual words. Someone who does not have the Spirit does not believe the truths that come from God's Spirit. They seem foolish to him, and he does not understand, because these truths only make sense to those who possess God's Spirit. The man who has been blessed by receiving the Spirit is able to make correct judgments about everything. He can discern what is right and wrong, and no one can judge him for the wisdom given him by God. For who can outthink God and instruct him? However, we have been given the mind of Christ so that we know how he views things. This is an absolute key to people living in victory. This is an absolute key to people having a happy life. Jesus is not about giving us a package of rules to follow so that we please God. The guidelines and instructions in God's word are not a set of rules from a mean father just to keep everybody in a bit of order. He gives us these words because it enables us, if we follow them and understand them and agree with them, to live in freedom. If you are a driver, in Britain we drive on the right side of the road, which is the left. And a lot of other countries of the world, they drive on the wrong side of the road, of course, which is the right. However, here on the right side of the road, which is the left, the thing is, that's a rule of the road. That's a very clear rule. If we didn't all follow that rule, driving on the road would be like some other countries, would be very dangerous. It's not a rule to restrict us. It's a rule to give us the freedom to drive around the country and not put our lives at risk every time that we do. For an individual person, it can seem at times like the rule is restrictive. If you're on a motorway going south and the north track is relatively free, it would be quicker for you to cross over and drive south on the north going railway, on the north going motorway. It would. If it was completely blocked on the south and there was nothing on the north, you could cross over and go the wrong way down the wrong side of the motorway and you would probably get where you were going quicker, unless you hit anything or a very fast police car intercepted you or whatever. But as an individual, breaking that rule would initially give you what seemed like greater freedom than all the ones sat in the traffic, wouldn't it? What you can't see is that if you continue breaking that rule, you're either going to completely lose your life or end up losing your freedom because the driving license is taken away from you and you possibly even face a prison sentence. So your temporary seeming freedom is leading to disaster. And this is what it's often like with God's word. And for Christians who are struggling to follow his word, they look around and they see people seemingly having more freedom. But it's like driving on the wrong side of the motorway in the wrong direction. You're heading for disaster and even potentially ruining your life. A good biblical principle is no sex before marriage. As a young person, when you look round at everybody else who seem to be having a fantastic time, and they don't feel restricted, and they talk about the fact that they have freedom, it can feel rather frustrating in many ways, more than one, that you can't do the same. Why can't I do that? It looks fun. They're enjoying it. I see it all the time everywhere. It's normal. In some nations of this planet, it's fairly normal for people not to follow the traffic regulations. And people do cross over and drive on the other side of the road. As a consequence, the death rate of drivers and passengers in those nations is vastly increased over this nation, even though we have far more vehicles on the roads. What seems like freedom is actually destruction. But we have to have the mind of Christ in these matters to realize this is not for our restriction, but for our freedom. Why does God say no sex before marriage, if you like? He doesn't really. It's more positive. It's more about saving something precious for your future partner. It's not really about no sex. It's about saving your virginity as a precious gift that you can only ever give away once to the person you're waiting for. It's a precious gift. You can only ever give it away once. God can redeem, but you can only ever give it away once. It's thinking of ways in the way God sees them. When Tate and I used to lead the children's work at Faith Camp, Go Generation, and we also did J24/7, Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in the church. One of the characters that we created was called Mr. Never Again. In his everyday form, a bit like Superman and more like Banana Man, Eric Pickles and Banana Man, actually. He was a bit more modelled on Banana Man, if we're honest, Never Again Man. In the ordinary day-to-day things of life, he was known as Neville. Neville Ernest Gain. Neville Gain. And Neville was quite a wimpy schoolboy, really. Bless him. But what happened in all the different dramas and sketches that we would do is he'd get himself into all these situations and he'd get worried or fearful or whatever. And then in the midst of being superweed, he would radically transform by, where did he transform? Going into a telephone box. Yes, yes, we had a telephone box, didn't we? He would disappear into the telephone box, making a call to the Lord, you see. And he would reappear in his marvellous costume because he had a secret trapdoor at the back, which Neville crawled out of, and Never Again Man, who was Dave Kent, crawled into. That's not nice. Who said Dave Kent? Just because he was at Lamp Blue with you, Peter. Okay, he's not the most heroic, but his costume was padded. And he looked a lot like the boy that we used to use for Neville. Anyway, so Neville would crawl out the back door, Mr. Never Again would crawl in, and he would burst out of the phone box, having heard the word from the Lord, and using the word from God, he was able to overcome the voice of the enemy or whatever was happening that was going wrong in his life, and he'd be transformed back into Neville, and Neville would have the victory. So, and we got the idea from a man called Don Gossett, who had spoke at Faith Camp, and he gave us permission to turn all these into child-friendly expressions. So it gave me great pleasure recently to see on the Kingdom Faith website that Pastor Colin did a special teaching section on the Never Agains. And I looked at the list and thought, that's just about all the list we had on our Never Again Man sheet. which we'd written. And he'd obviously been using it. And what we're going to finish with this morning is changing our minds to think like Jesus. Like I was saying earlier, this is continuous really from the worship time and what God was, I believe, sharing with us in the worship time. A lot of what we go through, the stresses and strains, are just because we choose to not make Jesus Lord. How do we make Jesus Lord? We think like he does. We choose to accept his word. His word is incredibly powerful. It changes everything. People can say, well, the truth is, well, the truth is God's word, not what you feel or experience. They might say, well, the bottom line is this. Now, everybody's rather tired of expressions like the bottom line or at the end of the day, aren't they? But the thing is, the bottom line at the end of the day or when the last lemming hits the water is that God's word, I like that one, is God's word is the final. Not all these other things. Not how we feel. Not even the circumstances that appear to be around us. It was God's word that brought creation into the being in the first place. The word of God transforms his creation around us. When we pray for healing in somebody, it's not just a gooey feeling going through us into them. There's something about acting upon the word and speaking the word that releases the power that's wrapped up in the word into that person's life that changes their physical body and makes it healthy. When you're struggling in other areas, it is the word of God that you speak over that situation that changes it. If you struggle with negative thoughts or things not going the way you want them to go, you have to get out the word and speak the word over your life, and you'll change the way you're thinking. Because you do, if you know Jesus, you do have the mind of Christ. So we're going to use the 12 statements that Pastor Colin gave. Unless the Holy Spirit interrupts. I'm not going to preach on each one of them. I'm just going to read them this morning. I'm going to read them, and then what we're going to say is we're going to say them together. Because we're going to speak them over our own lives together. Because you may feel like you're not lacking anything at the moment, but some of us will feel like that. But that contradicts the way God thinks about us. So we need to have the mind of Christ. So we start speaking the mind of Christ over our lives and we see it change. Sometimes victory just comes like that. And other times it's quite a battle. On Thursday evening, as I said earlier, we had this brilliant Christmas evening here. And in our family, we had the sickness bug go through us, literally. It had been horrendous. Elizabeth started it off, bless her little socks. And Gemma got it, I think, then, and Dan, and then Kate, and finally me. And so I went down with it on the Wednesday when I was driving to York through the snow. Then did a presentation, feeling like I was going to, the whole time I was doing it, and got home and then just sort of collapsed for the rest of the day, really, and shivered through the night. And the following day, Thursday, I felt terrible all day. All day long, I kept thinking, I need to prepare for tonight. I need to prepare to speak tonight. I'm speaking tonight. Should I give it to somebody else? And all the time, it was like, no, that doesn't seem right. So I kept confessing the word of God over myself. And even up to the last minute when I appeared here, I don't know if any of you were observant, you'll have noticed I sat down a lot. It was because every time I stood up, the ceiling was going round and round. And I felt like I was going to be sick. But I was confessing the word. No, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. This is not for me. So sometimes there's an ongoing battle. And as a result of that, even though I tried to prepare and I managed to read the word and I managed to pray a bit, even when I walked up to the front thinking and kind of feeling perhaps even more responsible than usual because Gemma and Dan and everyone else had done so much work to put everything together. I knew they were kind of hoping I'd preach something that was good to go with the rest of the evening, you know. And I had nothing, because I hadn't prepared anything, because I didn't know, I just hadn't been able to think straight. And it was kind of, no, well, the Word says that God will give me the words I need to speak when I don't have them, so I'm just going to have to trust Him. And all I'd got was, I'd marked in my Bible with my little ribbons the two Christmas passages that I used. And as I stood up the front and opened the Bible, not really knowing which one to turn to, I got that thing about what if, and went from there. And even in the first part of the talk, if you look carefully, I was holding on to this lectern because the ceiling was still going round. And then as I spoke, I got better and better and better and better and better, until at one point I was even jumping in, wasn't I, and leaping around as normality was restored, as it were. And, but sometimes you just have to do that. You just have to push through. You know, unless you're at death's door and really sick, if you're not well, the best place to get to is church. Get in the presence of God. You say, oh, I'm too tired, I've been working so hard. What's the best thing to do? Church. Don't think, oh, I'll sleep a bit more. So, I could go on that for ages, but we'll run out of time. So, shall we all stand? What I'll do is, there's 12 of them, they're all just a short sentence, so it won't take very long. I'll read it all the way through so you know where we're going, so you're not following me blind. And then we'll make sure, they're already up on the Kingdom Faith website, as I said, but the main site, but we'll see if we can get them up on ours as well and Facebook, so that you can use these for yourself at home as well. Okay, or if you're really desperate, give me your email and I'll just email you the notes from this morning. Afraid you won't get the photos, they're just on that. So the first one is from Philippians 4:13, which is very simply, never again will I confess that I can't, for I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Doesn't that really cut through a lot of the way we think sometimes? I love the never agains. Because we fall into them again and again. So it's like, no, never again. There's a little bit of you saying, well, I probably will. But I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to get changed in the phone box. I will wear the padded costume of beauty. And use God's word over my life. Some of us won't need to use as much padding. I've been trying to get rid of mine. Right. So I'll repeat a bit of this and you can repeat it after me. So you're speaking this over your life as an introduction to where we're going to go from this. But if you do this now with faith, saying, right, I'm going to choose to believe God's word, your life will be changed in these next 12 sentences. Yeah. It will. It will. It will. It will. Doesn't need to be prayer. Doesn't need to be ministry. Your life will change right now, right this morning, because we're using the scriptures. Right. All right, here we go then. Never again will I confess that I can't.
Never again will I confess that I can't.
For I can do all things.
For I can do all things.
Through him who gives me strength.
Through him who gives me strength.
Amen. Now when you do this at home, you can do each one more than once, obviously. But we're running out of time, so we're not going to. The next one. Never again will I confess lack. For my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Shall we go? Never again will I confess... No, stop. You wait after me. But I'm glad you're keen. Never again will I confess fear.
Never again will I confess fear.
For my God has not given me a spirit of fear.
My God has not given me a spirit of fear.
But of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Excellent. The next one is, never again will I confess doubt and lack of faith.
Never again.
No. I read it all the way through once. I was just getting excited and took a breath. You've got to hear why you're never going to confess that. Never again will I confess doubt and lack of faith, for God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Oh, come on, hear that. Everyone has got the measure of faith. You are not the exception in the entire universe. All right, here we go. Never again will I confess doubt and lack of faith.
Never again will I confess doubt and lack of faith.
For God has dealt to every man or woman.
God has dealt to every man.
The measure of faith.
The measure of faith.
Oh, come on, you're feeling built up already now. Stop it, Chris. Never again will I confess weakness, for the Lord is the strength of my life, and the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. It's from Psalm 27 and Daniel 11. Right. Never again will I confess weakness.
Never again will I confess weakness.
For the Lord is the strength of my life.
For the Lord is the strength of my life.
And the people that know their God.
And the people that know their God.
Shall be strong and do exploits.
Shall be strong and do exploits.
And the best time to say that is when you're feeling weak. Never again will I confess the supremacy of Satan over my life, because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. The number of Christians you hear about how the devil's doing this, or the devil's doing that, or there's these circumstances. Right, here we go. It's a long start. So, never again will I confess.
Never again will I confess.
The supremacy of Satan over my life.
The supremacy of Satan over my life.
Because he that is in me.
Because he that is in me.
Is greater than he that is in the world.
Is greater than he that is in the world.
Ah, that's good. Here's the next one. This one's from 2 Corinthians 2, where we were just now. Just before it. Never again will I confess defeat. For God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Oh. Never again will I confess defeat.
Never again will I confess defeat.
For God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus.
God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus.
Did you get the always?
Yes.
You are not the exception. Sometimes we're so proud. Never again will I confess lack of wisdom, for Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus as it says here, for Christ Jesus has become my wisdom from God. Wow. We're all wise. Never again will I confess lack of wisdom.
Never again will I confess lack of wisdom.
For Christ Jesus has become my wisdom.
For Christ Jesus has become my wisdom.
From God.
God.
Here's another one. This is a goodie. Never again, this is the one I was using the other day. Never again will I confess the dominion of sickness over my life, for with his stripes I am healed. That's why I'm always reluctant to say I'm not well. Because the answer is I'm not well. Yeah, okay, it looks like I am, and I'm suffering with it, but by his stripes I am healed, and that's what I'm taking hold of. It's not that I lie about it, but I'm not going to go around telling everyone. Never again will I confess.
Never again will I confess.
The domination of sickness over my life.
The domination of sickness over my life.
For with his stripes.
For with his stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
And here's another one that will set you free if you get the mind of Christ on this. Never again will I confess worry and frustration, for I cast all my cares on him because he cares for me. Wow. We can spend so much time telling people about our worry and our frustration when we need to be confessing, Jesus cares for me and I give you these cares. It's not that we hide away behind the doggy plastic smile that we saw earlier. We don't do that. It can still be who we are. But there is a truth and a reality that says sometimes I just need to get up and get on with life. It's not false to smile when you feel bad. What you're saying is, I believe there's something better than I feel at the moment. We've got so paranoid. Oh, well, you've got to be real. No, we've got to be truth people. Reality is one set of circumstances, but we live over the circumstances in the truth of God. Couldn't it? Anyway, so this is the repeat bit now. Never again will I confess.
Never again will I confess.
Worry and frustration.
Worry
Therefore I cast all my cares on him. Because he cares for me.
Because he cares for me.
In Christ I am carefree.
In Christ I am carefree.
Mm-hmm. Two more. Never again will I confess bondage, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are not in bondage to alcohol, drugs, cigarettes, chocolate, whatever. EastEnders, whatever it is, you are not in bondage to it. You don't have to have it. You could even say, no, I'm not going to bother watching the X Factor final. Which, as I said, I did see some of, so there you go. Anyway, here we go. Never again will I confess bondage. For where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom.
My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The very last one. All of these have got biblical references with them, which will go up with them, so that you can then look up the references as well and see why they work the way they do. Here's the last one. Another very powerful one, and I know that some of you struggle with this at times. We all struggle with this at times, and we all have to come back to the Word of God. Some struggle with it more than others. Never again will I confess condemnation, for there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am in Christ, therefore I am free from condemnation. When you feel bad, or even someone else makes you feel bad, it's a lie in the pit of hell. There's no condemnation. Even if you're being made to feel bad because you failed or did something wrong, there's no condemnation in Christ, only forgiveness. And the Holy Spirit will never make you feel condemned. He brings conviction, which is a desire to be right with God. Condemnation makes you feel like you cannot go near God. That's how you tell the difference. If you feel like you can't go to God, that's the enemy. All right, that's condemnation. If you feel convicted, you want to go to the Lord. So a lot of what people feel is conviction is condemnation. It's nothing from the Holy Spirit at all. Because the Holy Spirit draws you to Jesus, not makes you feel like you can't go near him. Never again will I confess condemnation.
Never again will I confess condemnation.
For there is now no condemnation.
For those who are in Christ Jesus.
I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
Therefore, I am free from condemnation.
Therefore, I am free from condemnation.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen. Praise God, eh?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Have a great week. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.